I mentioned during the dedication that we would be talking a little bit this morning about teaching. And this comes from Jesus' instructions that he gave to his disciples. And I'd like to let the kids know, age kindergarten through fourth grade, you're going to have about 15 minutes of children's church this morning. Miss Jeanette's going to talk to you about the mustard seed, and you are you're welcome to go with her at this time, but you'll be back very soon. All right. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. If I may read that for us this morning, and please follow along as I read. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age." So this morning, just two words: teaching them. We've been in a series called You Church, and taking the Great Commission of Jesus and realizing that it is not just for those 11 apostles that we think about as pretty special guys. They walked and talked with Jesus. But the fact is that this Great Commission, these final words, these instructions of Jesus are for you and for me. And so this morning, as Jesus shared these words with those guys, it is for you and I as well. We've talked about, we live in a YouTube age, don't we? The do-it-yourself, the Pinterest age, when instead of buying it, you want to make it all yourself. You know, it's really not a new idea. Doing the will of God is not just for the professionals, but it's for all of us. Amen. Every single one of us. So this morning, teaching them. You know, I remember every one of my teachers. Don't you? I could tell you the names of all of my teachers from way back in kindergarten. And I think about, you know, all of the people that I've met in the course of my lifetime. And I had to think about this week, why is it that I remember all of my teachers? I remember their names. I remember the interactions that they had with me. And in my mind, I kind of realized the reality is I spent probably more time with my teachers than I did with my parents. At least that's in those chapters of my life, kindergarten, first, second, third grade, all the way through. These names, if I were to say them to you, would probably mean nothing to you. Mrs. Loos, Hal Weaver, Mr. Al Gravetti. We made terrible fun of his name. History teacher in seventh grade. But not only in school. I remember my Sunday school teachers. I remember Uetta Ratliff, who means nothing to you, I'm sure, but she had the courage to take on a class of junior high boys, of which I was one of them. And she sat down and patiently taught us the scriptures. She taught us to memorize the scriptures. And she helped us see that these were not only words on a page, they were principles and truths to live by. I remember the teachers in college, how they opened my mind to things, and I honestly was a little unnerved by some of the things they told me. So they began to prepare me for living as an adult. My teachers taught me a great deal, as I'm sure your minds are being flooded with names and faces of your former teachers. They not only taught, but they facilitated an environment to learn. They had something to teach me, and they didn't leave it to accident that somehow the most important things in life I would somehow pick up by accident or indirectly. They made it a point to make sure that they told me what was important. And they pointed out scriptures and truths. And they said, if you will live by these, God will bless you. Thank God for teachers. Amen. Teachers have a tremendous responsibility to convey truth with intention. Now, we all know that there's active and passive teaching. I think about Jesus. I think of the times that he created anticipation when great crowds followed him, and then he'd have them sit down, which as a rabbi, everybody knew that when the rabbi had everybody sit down, it meant that they were going to be taught. And so as Jesus had them sit down, it created an environment of expectation. They were going to hear his words. It was very direct, intentional. And then there were the days, undoubtedly, that the disciples were following Jesus. They were talking about, you know, what they were going to have for dinner, and they were talking about this and that, and then someone would come up and talk to Jesus, and Jesus would stop everything and be one-on-one with that person, and it was like the whole world stopped as whatever this person's need was, Jesus addressed. And though it may not have been a direct teaching moment that Jesus had the disciples say, now watch this, and here comes this woman, we're going to do a teaching moment, it rather happened really indirectly. And just by watching the example of Jesus, those disciples began to learn. And they were taught everything they needed to know about following God. Both approaches are necessary and important, and both of them happen. They can happen in a classroom setting, in a laundry room, around the dinner table, and even out in the front yard. Teaching, direct and indirect. You see, learning is a cooperation between the teacher and the student. Whenever I think of a teacher, especially my teachers in junior high and high school, I don't know, this is the default image that I have in my mind every time I think of my poor teachers, exasperated. Just like, what am I going to do with these kids? But that doesn't always have to be that way. I own some of that. You know what I'm saying? God bless the teachers that had patience with me. The teacher must teach, and the student must learn. And there has to be a willingness to be taught and a willingness to learn. It's a cooperation between teacher and student. Amen? Amen. You see, through teachers, students have access to wisdom beyond their years. Through teachers, let me say that again. Through teachers, students have access to wisdom beyond their years. That's why it's important that we guard and facilitate teaching in the church. And it's important for us to exercise appropriate measures to help students maintain focus. Sometimes kids just need to be, hey, focus, concentrate. Here, this is important. We've got to talk about this. Stop what you're doing and do this. And I thank God for the teachers that did that in my life. I needed focus. I needed direction. I needed wisdom to be poured into my life. And I've had teachers that have done that. Oh, teachers can do a lot to build a fire for learning. But in the end, the teacher cannot teach a student that refuses to be taught. I remember, even in the church world, the mentors that I've had over the years and through college, and then as my district superintendents have poured their lives into me through phone conversations and 10 minutes here and 10 minutes there, and I realized how valuable those lessons are. Sometimes those 10-minute little talks literally save my life from years of frustration, from wandering around, not knowing what to do with this situation or that situation. Those 10 minutes at a time, those half an hour segments of time, those 50-minute segments of time are so valuable and so powerful that we cannot afford to ignore them. Amen? And if we'll spend that much time thinking about applying our minds to geography or sociology or history, how important it is also, as presented in God's Word, that we apply ourselves to learning and to teaching. Amen? And so when Jesus, I love this picture, don't you? This is Darren Gillum. One of the years that we were doing Vacation Bible School out in the park. And Mark, did you snap this picture? Okay. But there's Darren. And this was kind of like he had a group. And I don't know what he was doing, but most everybody was really interested. There's cooperation happening there, isn't there? There's synergy between the teacher and the student. And how beautiful it is. I like something that Jeff said. You probably didn't even think about this gem that you put into my brain. Okay, now I got to get it right. Okay. When the student is ready to learn, the teacher will show up. I like that. I don't know where you got that, but that was really good. When the student is ready to learn, the teacher will show up. And I love this picture. Our own Miss Stephanie with her group of kids there at Vacation Bible School in the park. There's synergy happening there. Teaching takes intentionality. And our focus can prevent years of frustration and wandering around. This is life-saving information. This is good news to be taught. What has Jesus taught us? Oh, it's really worth making sure that we are paying attention to the lessons that Jesus is seeking to teach us through His Word. We are saturated in this day and age that we live in with secular humanism. We are saturated with the ideas of popular culture that if you live this way, you'll get this result. Almost, if you trip over the step, you're going to fall down. And good teachers, when it happens within the context of integrity and discipleship, in the context of the church, good teachers help students separate secular humanism from true wisdom. Amen? Jesus teaches us truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. For instance, we hear Jesus in the scriptures say, "You have heard that it was said." That's popular wisdom talking. But then he says, "But I tell you," and how important it is for us as students of the Word to be able to separate, "You've heard that it was said, but I tell you," Jesus said. How do we teach? We teach by example. We teach by walking in the world. We teach those who are following us and looking to our example. as we follow Jesus, and they are following us, we are teaching. The fact is, in our culture today, we are earning the privilege to be heard. And as Christians, let's never forget that sometimes saying something louder and more forcefully doesn't mean that it will be heard. But rather, earning the right to be listened to is something that even Jesus teaches us to do. He who created us and has ultimate authority still does not overrule our personal free will that He, in fact, gave us in the first place. In a couple minutes, I'm going to ask Halacio to come and share a bit of his testimony, because that is how we teach as well. And is there a microphone that Jay could use? Could you get him set up with that? There it is, right there. So another way that we teach is by telling our story. And during this series, we've started to facilitate many in our church being able to share their testimonies. And I've asked Jay to begin thinking about and preparing over the last couple of weeks to share some of the things that God's doing in his life. And Brandon Wyatt is going to be sharing next week. And we're going to keep on giving opportunity for those who would like to share their testimony. You see, sharing our testimony is a way to witness to God's work in our lives. And at this time, I'd like to invite Jay to come and share a bit of his story.
Microphone check. First, I want to apologize to everybody in here. The crime rate just went up in Dixon 7%. I got my family from Elgin here. I love you guys. I'm just joking. What a wonderful day. What a beautiful morning. This is what it's all about. My church family, I don't know how it happened. I don't know how I snuck in here. But I'm here, and I've been here for over 8 years. And it is just amazing how God, especially me, someone that was abandoned by, my dad left when I was 2 years old. And there was a huge void in my life, a void that nobody could fill that. Not a stepfather. Not the best drug in the world. The struggle is real. It's a real struggle. I'm sorry. I got notes here. I don't want to read. I want to say it from the heart. I come from a Catholic background. I went to church every Saturday, Sunday. Sunday school, Sunday, confirmation classes, first communion classes, but I wasn't hearing God speak into my life. The message went in one ear and out the other ear. I just wasn't ready. I don't know if it was the environment or the lifestyle that I had, or I can't pinpoint it, but I wasn't hearing God speak into my life. The first time I felt the Holy Spirit was at a teen retreat, a Christian teen retreat. I was 15 years old, and I went with a bunch of troublemakers. I wasn't there to praise God. I was there to cause trouble. I was there to impress my friends. And it was the second day. I'll never forget it. It was about 300 teens, and I was with my group, just not even paying attention to what was going on. And this man, I'll never forget it, came up and presented God's plan of salvation. And I just, all of a sudden it went one ear and it went into my heart. And I felt a love that I've never felt in my life. It was the Holy Spirit. And I was so overwhelmed by it that I fell to the ground on my knees. And I was overwhelmed with emotion and I started crying. And it didn't matter who was witnessing that. I mean, that was getting shoulder bumps. Man, are you okay? What's wrong with you? They didn't understand what was going on. But I did. And being without a father, I got cold again. I started doing bad. I was a rebel. I did whatever I wanted. The only reason I didn't is because I had a grandmother that loved me so much that I didn't want to disappoint her. I didn't want to let her down. And sadly, she died when I was 17. And I did whatever I wanted. Whatever I wanted to do, I did. I got into graffiti. I got into a little bit of drinking, a little bit of drugs. And I had become a monster. I was mad at God because my grandma passed away. She left me. The only person that ever loved me, the person that gave me that unconditional love without me having to give her something in return, she was gone. So I was angry, and I did whatever I wanted. I even made a family, and it fell apart because the foundation was not there. And then I'm like, I'm going to cover every base. I'm gonna do it right. After I made my second family, I found Living Well Church. Well, the Living Well Church found me. I was curious. It was being held at a movie theater, and I'm like, I got to go check this out. I kid you not, when the bucket for the collection plate came, it was a popcorn bucket. I actually reached my hand in there, and I'm like, whoa. I love popcorn. That just looked wrong. I'm like... Soon after, I started taking my family, and I was loving it. I got into vacation Bible school. I helped out with a spaghetti supper. It was great. Anybody that wanted God in their life, hey, let me tell you a little bit about God. He's an awesome God. And I was just on a roll, and little did I know that second biggest fall in my life was coming. And it almost took me out. It almost killed me. When I said it almost killed me, I'd rather have died than to endure that. I'd rather be 6 feet under than to endure what I endured. But I'm here today because there is a God. I'm here today because my God is stronger than me. And I'm healed through that. I shouldn't be here. By the world's standards right now, I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't have this in my hand. I shouldn't even be in this situation that I'm in. But because God is real, and because my Redeemer lives, and he loves me, he loves you guys, I am here today. I love my family. What happened today since I got here has been so magical to me. I feel that love, that love that only God can give you. That's why I'm up here right now. I met Danielle. I prayed for her, believe it or not, for 2 years, just how she is. And God brings her to my life. And here I am at the altar again, thinking, no, I'll never do this again. And we've had our problems, but they are healed through God. And anything that comes my way, my friends, whatever happens to me in this life, it's okay. I know where I stand. I know that relationship that I have with my God, is flawless. And I go to him for everything. I went to him, when I was first asked to come up here, I'm like, are you serious? I'll cut someone's grass. I'll paint your house. I'll fix your plumbing. But up here, I can't do it. I even texted Pastor John, or I told him, man, I really don't want to do it. There's someone in here that is ahead of me somewhere. But I'm up here now, and if you learned anything from me today is that Jesus is real. Jesus is love. And if I'm telling you that, and everybody here, whether we have a relationship or not, because of you, I am the person that I am today. Because I see you guys here every Sunday. We have a relationship whether you want to or not, whether we talk or not, whether we wave at each other or not. And I thank you for that. That's what it's about. Thank you, guys.
You heard more in that than probably a dozen sermons or a year of sermons about the personal testimony of what God can do and will do if we just allow Him to do it in our lives. Amen? Thank you, Jay. So encouraging to hear you give glory to God for what's happening in your life. We also teach by participation in the sacraments of the church, by practice. You know, it would be, I don't want to make this sound trite, but practice makes perfect. We understand that as we participate in the sacraments of the church, we are receiving the grace of God into our lives. It's not that the sacraments are some kind of magical little thing that happens. It's that we come to God with an open heart. And by participation in communion, by participation in baptism, by participation in the body of Christ, we are receivers of His grace. You know, in this day and age, we're so enlightened, aren't we? And yet rituals have gotten a bad name. We don't want to do any rituals. That's mindless. Well, before we discount the majority of Christian history, let's remember that these rituals, these means of grace, these sacraments have been utilized by the church and have brought about growth and Christian maturity in our walk. I'd like to read one more scripture before we close this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 1, or chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. I love this. You're gonna love it. I know it's familiar to most of us. These are the commands, decrees, and laws of the Lord your God that God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all His decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. These are marks of intentionality. Amen. That we're not going to leave the most important life lessons to accident. That we are going to make sure that we are impressing these principles, these truths, upon the minds and hearts of the next generation. What a responsibility and a privilege for parents to teach life into the lives of their kids. And that's really what we're doing. Did you hear a couple things in there? It said that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And you see, as we teach life, as we teach truth into the lives of our kids, we are breathing life, the life of God, the grace of God into them. What a beautiful sacrament, a home that has the foundation of God can be and is in our culture today. The scripture is a beautiful picture of parents, of rabbis, of what we would understand today as the church, passing on the values of God into ordinary, everyday life. This admonition that we just read was written directly after the giving of the Ten Commandments. And God says, these principles that I've just shared with you, make sure that your kids get it as early as humanly possible. Make sure that your kids are learning Scripture by memory. Make sure that when they get up in the morning, their home has the message, living and breathing in it, that God is love and He has a wonderful plan for our lives. To enjoy long life, that it will go well with you and you will increase greatly in the land. These were promises to the nation of Israel that as they observed the Ten Commandments and obeyed them, their lives would be blessed. They are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your heart like a soul tattoo. Make sure that we're leaving a mark, parents. Amen. Let's not leave this to accident. And I know there's a whole wave of cultural wisdom right now that says, oh, your children need to choose what they're going to do early. Let them make the decision. And I know there's good intention in that, but I don't read that in Scripture. I don't read that we leave it to accident what our kids are going to believe. I read that we teach them, that we impress that upon their minds, upon their hearts. And now they're still going to take it or leave it, right? But it doesn't mean that we listen to the cultural wisdom and say, well, let's just leave it to chance what my kids are going to believe. Let's be intentional, amen? And teach these principles. All of us are called to be teachers to some degree or another. If you're a mother or father or a big sister or a big brother, if you're a grandparent, we're all teachers. I want to close our service this morning by giving you an opportunity to consider something. We have a tremendous staff of teachers here in the church, but we've got a lot of room to grow in our teaching ministry. I want to name our current roster of teachers this morning. And part of this is because I want your accountability as the church, that we don't leave this ministry of teaching to chance, but that all of us are actively engaged in participating in the teaching ministry of the church. This is our current roster, and there's people who have taught throughout the years that are no longer teaching today because they just Well, like Tracy, I know she put in at least 5 years teaching small group on Sunday mornings for kids, and she's not doing it right now. And there's an opening there. Serve faithfully for 5 years, but I want to give you an opportunity this morning that God may be using this moment in time to either invite you to participate in being taught as a student and being a part of a small group, or maybe God is putting his thumb in your back in inviting you to become a teacher. We've got, during our Sunday mornings, our nursery where Steph and Deanna and Paige and Devin and Cheryl teach the kids. We've got commotion on Wednesday nights where Stephanie and last Wednesday night Lisa taught there during Wednesday nights. And then we've got Pipeline on Wednesday nights. This is our youth group where Jennifer's been teaching faithfully, and now Brandon has been elected our Nazarene Youth International President. We've got our children's church where Jeanette has been serving for a while. And I know she enjoys, she's teaching the mustard seed. There's not a day, a Sunday that goes by that she is, that when we drive home, she says, "I just loved teaching today. I love," and today we'll go home and she'll have some feedback about what one of your children said. And I'll keep that as ammunition for some time later. There's small group time on Sunday mornings. Adults. Our adult live small group is live streamed. And if you are maybe in your home on Sunday mornings, getting ready for church, but haven't thought about becoming a part of a small group, I want to invite you to do just that by getting on our church website, livingwellchurch.org at 9:30, and participating in our adult small group time, where wonderful teachers like Bill and Mike and Stacy unfold the word to us on Sunday mornings at 9:30. And then there's Dan teaching the teens on Sunday mornings. How many did you have this morning, Dan?
Not my dad's.
I know you had a good group this morning, and you know, isn't it amazing that when we show up, God blesses, and then we think, "Wow, I wouldn't have missed that for the world." And then the devil presents another opportunity next Sunday morning and says, "Why don't you sleep in? I want to encourage you to stop sleeping in on Sunday mornings."
Amen.
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 And be a part of a small group, because it's worth it. It's worth it. Did I say too much there? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Let the Spirit lead you, all right? All right. In conclusion, James chapter 3, verse 1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." And then Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you all over the elementary truths of God's word. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use," that's by practice makes perfect, "have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." I just want to say this morning, don't be missing a blessing by missing out on the teaching opportunities that we have here at Living Well. I want to extend an invitation to you this morning to join our team of teachers, not as an emotional decision, because your students need to know that you're going to be there through thick and thin. And sometimes teaching is very difficult. But I want to invite you to teach with conviction. That if you're ready to make a difference in the lives of others by applying yourself with intentionality and discipline, you know what? I never grew more than when I taught a class of junior high boys. I was a sophomore in college when the pastor gave me a group of about 8 junior high boys, and I'm saying, what goes around comes around. I got everything I had coming to me by them boys. I did. But you know what? I grew, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I wouldn't trade that experience for anything. Some of you are already feeling God's thumb in your back to step up and be a teacher. And of course, doing a background check is important because of the age that we live in. We want to make sure that we have that seal of approval, that our place is safe and everything's cool with what's going down here. For a few of you, God is calling you today. He's nudging you. This is your next step in your spiritual growth. And I want to invite you to take that step. Finally, for those who you can say today, my role is not teacher. That's not my role. And that's completely fine. Not all of us, the scripture says, should be teachers. But all of us have a role to fulfill. And I want to encourage all of us to think about lifelong learning. Jeanette just reapplied for her licensed clinical professional counselor license, just got that. You know, she's got to take 30 hours every 2 years of continuing education. And for me, as an ordained minister, I have to take continuing education hours. And any professional career that we have now that requires a license, you're going to have to take continuing education. You know why? Because we can't live on yesterday. And spiritually, all of us need to be growing. Amen? Let me just say it this way. How's your continuing ed going in your spiritual life? How you doing? What lessons have you learned over the last year? How have you grown spiritually? When I come and ask you, Steve, would you share your personal testimony? And I'm planning on asking many of you in the next few months. As God is revealing himself to you, what can you teach us just by sharing what God's done in your life? Oh, I want to hear it, because that's where I see where the rubber meets the road. Amen? Amen. I'd like to invite our worship team to come up and close us in a song. And as they're coming, let's bow our heads in prayer together. Father, thank you for this time that we could spend together this morning. And we may not leave here feeling all that like we've just experienced a mountaintop high, but Lord, we may leave here this morning feeling your thumb in our back. A sense of, I have something that I need to do. I have a conviction in my life that I wasn't prepared to deal with this morning. I have God calling me to my next step. Whether that be stepping into a role of teacher or whether that be stepping into continuing education as a believer, a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, to learn what is new for me here today, right here, right now. As the old song says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Lord, open your wisdom to us, your truth to us. And as we attend your intentional teaching, Lord, we open our hearts and our lives to you. And Lord, we ask you now that you would put us all on a track of continual lifelong learning, to not just rest on what happened yesterday and what we know and what we think we believe, but Lord, help us, I pray, continue to work it out, to work out this faith, that we will be growing and The people who are looking on can see a vibrancy and a synergy happening in our lives that wouldn't be there if we were just staying the same day after day. Lord, use teachers in our life and bless this roster of faithful, committed servants who week in and week out continue to share, continue to teach, continue to give their lives. And Lord, we pray that you would add to that number. Lord, bless our time together. And Lord, I pray that as we continue to learn, that your stamp of approval would be so evident on our lives. Thank you for Jay's testimony. And Lord, continue to teach us, not only from your word and through your Holy Spirit, but teach us through the church as we hear each other's story about what you're doing in our lives right here, right now. Because, hey, if God can do it for Jay, he can do it for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Stand and worship with us.
When my task's gone, earth is done. when by thy grace a victory is won.
Hallelujah!
In death's cold grave I will not fear, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. This way own hand he leadeth me, his faithful.